have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Will you excuse me while I rearrange the furniture just a minute? If I don't do that, you're going to see me trip and fall. My feet are too big to be back there like that. So, all right, good morning. Now, just an announcement. In 2 weeks, our home church pastor and his wife are going to be here, Steve and Brenda Kraft. And they're coming to Australia for the first time. So it's going to be an exciting time for them. We're going to be in Sydney for a few days with them. Then I think it's an anniversary, so they're going to fly to Melbourne and have a good time there and then come here. They're going to spend some time with us, and he's going to be speaking in the morning service. So everybody make plans on being here on that day, and you can meet Pastor Steve. 2 weeks. A fortnight. Julie just informed me it is the 17th when they're going to be here. All right? Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm glad I've got a helpmate because I need helpmate. Today I want to begin a series that I hope you find to be interesting, because we're gonna start asking the question, does God speak to his kids? In our day, does God still speak to his kids? Now, well, does he? Well, somebody tell me. I mean, has he spoke to you? Okay, anybody want to tell me about it? I mean, just a, not a 30-minute message, but just a real, yes. All right. It's a bit of a scary situation, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I've got a couple. He gave me advice on, I was praying about, by the way, the main
61st
and the run that
we
prayed about at
7. All right, Tom. Yeah. All right. Yay, God. God's good. I personally believe that God still speaks to his kids today. And one of the reasons why is if when I got up here on Sunday morning, all I had was my opinion, then I better shut up and sit down. I'd rather go fishing. And I'm not good at fishing anyway. I'd rather go fishing and stand up here and just share with you my opinion. Matter of fact, I remember the time when I started pastoring. It dawned on me, I've got to hear something from the Lord every time I get up to speak. And sometimes that, up in Queensland, that was 3 or 4 times a week. You know, now it's 50 to 100 times a year. And just face that. That's a scary thought. Will God speak to me and give me an idea? Well, after about 25 years, I found out that he will. He will speak. I've heard some preachers running out of material in the Bible. I've got a lot more to cover. I mean, I don't think you can run out. But God does speak to his kids. And we're going to begin a couple of messages talking about that. This week we're going to deal with why does God speak to his kids? Okay. Next week we're going to talk about how does God speak to his kids. And if you have your ear to the ground and hear people talking, you're going to hear all kinds of ways that people says God speaks to them and to you. Some of them's not all that biblical. But do you have the biblical evidence to support what you believe? Now, let me just tell you this. I've had people come up and said, you know, God's told me to tell you. And I went, whoa. If he told you to tell me that, why didn't he tell me that this morning when I talked to him? So, you know what? I don't have a lot of confidence when people comes up and says, God told me to tell you. Now, if somebody comes up and says, you know, God showed me in the scriptures this truth that I think you might be able to use in your life, I'm going to say, all right, I'm interested. I want to see that truth because, you know, I can have absolute faith in the scriptures. I can't have absolute faith in somebody that's become the voice of God in my life. Would you agree? Because they might be wrong. But you see, the scripture is never wrong. So, how or why does God speak to his kids? Anybody have any idea? Okay, why? Why? Yeah, that's next week's, Gail. Yeah, well, how many here needs to be kept in line? Yeah, no, Ken. All right, just to say hello. I like that because can I get personal here? We had a conversation with our son this morning up in upstate New York, and you know, he calls, and I'm just glad that we have the internet today where we can talk like that. And it was good just to say hello to my son. Kind of a little bit of a corny wave at him, but still, it was a hello. And I think sometimes God just wants to say hello. Somebody should write a song, hello. Never mind. Anybody else have some ideas? Yeah. That's next week's. Why does God speak? What's that? All right, and that's very similar to what Russell said, but because he loves us so much. So, see, I told you there's a lot of interest in how God speaks to us, you know? There's a lot of things that's out there. But That'd preach, David. Okay, he does. Tim? Okay. He's not, ooh boy, comes into the social system of our day, doesn't it? So, well, I personally believe God speaks because he has no other choice. Now, that sounds like a sacrilegious comment, okay? Let me explain myself. God has promised to guide us and to lead us, right? And the only way that he can guide us and lead us is to speak to us in some way. So if he's made the promise, then he will fulfill his promise, right? And the only way that he can really do that is somehow communicate, whether it's a word, whether it's a scripture, whether it's an impression, whether it's circumstances, however God chooses to speak to us, he has promised he will lead us. So to do so, he's got to somehow communicate with us. So let's look at some of these places where he has promised to lead us and guide us. Psalms, if you have your handouts, you've got the scripture there. You can run the references on them later. Psalms 32, verse number 8. It's very clear, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Anybody can understand that. He said, I will teach you. I will instruct you. And second, he said, I will guide you with my eye. And here's a good one. Got a friend of mine up in Queensland that was raising Rottweilers. No, Dobermans. And when he comes out, his dogs are just looking at him like that. And he's got the food over to one side. And all he has to do is go, and they're gone. Do you get it? I haven't trained Milo like that yet. Milo's sitting there just drooling all over the place. You don't wait too long, you'll drown. But he guides his dogs with his eyes. And that's what I think God said he will do that too. But you know, if he's going to guide us with his eyes, you know what we have to be paying attention to? His eyes. We got to be looking. We got to be observant and watching. Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of good men are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. In other words, the steps of good men are established and ordered by the Lord. He promised to do that, folks. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He said he'll do that. You can count on it. Sometimes we forget the promises of God, don't we? Just in case you think this is an Old Testament doctrine only, let's go to the New Testament. And this one speaks very clearly. We're going to go to the Son of God, who's speaking in John chapter 10, verse 27, 28. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and what will they do? They will follow me." My sheep, those of my family, those of my pasture, my kids will hear my voice. And we can't do that if he doesn't speak. I was talking to Peter about this this morning. He was talking, somebody was telling about a book where somebody says, God doesn't do miracles and doesn't do all these things anymore. Baloney. God still does things today. I wonder if he does it for people who don't believe in it, though. Maybe that's their experience. But I think God still guides us in supernatural ways, don't you? I'm in pretty good company here, I think. We're all thinking similar. Jesus says his sheep will hear his voice and they will follow. Now, let's look at a very practical way where the Lord will give us what we need. Go with me to Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. There again is Jesus speaking. He can't lie, can he? Everybody trusting? If you're not trusting Jesus, can we talk? Jesus says, "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that hour what you ought to say." How many will trust God to give you the words that you need the very moment you need them? If you believe that, then your God confidence will grow. I'm not worried about self-confidence. Your God confidence will grow if you will believe God will give you the right words when you need them. Jesus said that. He said, "I will." So, in fact, God does speak, and he has promised to speak to us. What does it mean to you? All right, here's your turn. What does it mean to you that God will give you the words you need at the moment you need them? Personally, what does that mean to you? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah. And you've experienced that, haven't you, Peter? Yeah, you're right. And you know what? Sometimes I don't trust my ability. Anybody here like that? Like every time I stand up here? I'm glad we have God's Word to depend on. It's true. But what we need to do is go in trusting that He will give us the words that we need. Now, true, you need to do a little bit of preparation. You at least need to know at least His thoughts and things about things. And then He'll give you the words to say. Anybody else? Okay. We need to have confidence, absolute confidence that God will give us the words that we need when we need them. So we have the truth that God will speak to us. Well, is He qualified to speak to us? A lot of questions today. Is He qualified? How do you know He's qualified? Oh, that's a pretty good answer. He's got... Well, I'm going to read you something from Psalms 139. If you got your Bible, go over to Psalms 139. I'm going to read to you why God is qualified to speak to me and to you. All right? Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It kind of makes it easier to understand. O Lord, You have examined my heart and You know everything about me. Boy, that is a scary thought, isn't it? Let me let you in on a secret, and He still loves you. I'll continue. And You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place Your hand of blessing on my head. I love the psalmist summary of this where he says, such knowledge is just too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand, that God knows everything about me. He knows what I've been through. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what I'm going to go through. He knows all of those things. So why can't we trust Him? The truth is, He's qualified to speak to you. He's qualified like no one else could ever be qualified to speak to you. He is the one. He is the one we should be listening to. He is the one we should have our confidence in. Him. He's qualified. And I like what He says right here. Even though He knows all about me, He still, He says, you go before me and follow me, and then you place Your hand of blessing on my head. Somebody shout hallelujah. Even though He knows me, He's going to bless. That's what He said. I think Chris Tomlin said it best when he said, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. I am loved by you. It's who I am. Who I am. Chris continues, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers only You provide. Because You know just what we need before even we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who You are. So you are. Is God qualified to speak? Absolutely. But here's a question. He's qualified to speak. Will we listen to Him? Will we do what He tells us to do? Can you hear all the excuses coming up when I said that? Will we actually listen to him and respond positively? Oh, today, sitting in church, we'll probably say, yes, 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 I'll hear him. Wherever he tells me to go, I'm going to go, yes. But tomorrow, when things are a little less ideal, and you're getting a little bit under the pressure and under the gun, and you don't know which way you're going to turn, will you respond when he speaks in a positive manner? It's when the rubber meets the road. Tomorrow. When the pressure's on. Oh, here's another one. Maybe life is going wonderfully. Seems like everything you touch turns to gold. Can I follow you a little bit? Perhaps when everything is just rosy and nothing wrong and it just seems like everything is so great, will you listen when he speaks? Then? Or has your success silenced his voice? Oh, he's qualified to speak. But will we listen? That's a big one. And each of us have to make that decision. There's an old hymn we used to sing. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Will we? I think it's your challenge for today. Will we? We know he's promised to lead us. Therefore, we know he's going to lead us. We know he's qualified to lead us. Then will we respond positively to his leading? You and I need to get our heads around that. We really, really do need to get a good grasp on that because it could mean such a difference in our lives to listen and respond. But I can hear a little whisper joining the conversation. And that whisper says, you know, I'm almost afraid to say yes. I'm almost afraid to hear his voice because he may ask me to do something that I don't want to do. Has anybody heard that thought before? I'm not sure that I want to hear what he has to say. So what will God ask us to do? Well, quite frankly, I'm going to leave that up to him. He's very capable, very qualified. He knows all about you. He knows your needs. Therefore, he can guide you, okay? I'm going to leave it up to him. I don't know what he's going to ask you to do. Perhaps you should find out. But let me give you a couple of comments about the will of God. Firstly, it can be scary what God may ask you to do. But conversely, it could be the most exciting thing in the world to be living in the center of God's will. You hear people who go off and do all these wonderful things for the Lord and God blesses them. And they would say, you say, how in the world can you live such a life? And they said, I wouldn't want to live any other way. Why? Their confidence is there. They've latched hold to God and they are living daily, minute by minute, holding on to his hand. How in the world could you live better than that? No, it may not line up with people around you, but you're lining up with him. Well, if God should speak to us, there are definitely some things he would say. And I'm going to go over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. And I want to look at a few things that God would say to us because we know he's already said these things. Just real quickly, Paul's writing, and he's the apostle to the Gentiles, and he says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. You know, the thought has often crossed my mind, would I honestly die for him? Would I give my life for my testimony if pressured to do so? And most of us would say, yes, no question. I would give my life for my belief in Jesus Christ. Well, that's an honorable thing. But look at this. He may not ask you to do that, but what he is asking you to do is to be a living sacrifice. Not a dead one. A living sacrifice. Will we be a living sacrifice? The only thing about a living sacrifice is when you put it on the altar, it has a way of crawling off of it. So we got to put him back on the altar again. But the one thing God would ask us to do is, will you surrender yourself to me? That's being a living sacrifice and allowing him to be Lord of your life. And then he goes on to say, holy. Holy is set apart unto him. He's the boss. He's Lord. He's King. What he says goes. Will we be holy or set apart unto him? Acceptable to God. In other words, you're living in a life that honors him. And this is kind of unusual what Paul says. This is your reasonable service. It's the least you can do. Now, our newer translation says this is your spiritual act of worship. Or your living sacrifice is your worship to him. You're showing him how much he's worth by how you live your life. And then Paul continues something that God may tell us if he's speaking to us, which he has in his word. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Folks, we got to be different. I'm not saying weird. Please, don't misunderstand me. But it needs to be very obvious that you are a follower of Jesus. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. I just thought you would want to make sure you're still with me. It needs to be obvious that you're a follower of Jesus. It needs to come into your conversation on purpose. As Gail was talking this morning about your testimony, you're the only one that can tell your testimony. Only one. Nobody in the world can tell your testimony like you can, so tell it. If you don't have a testimony of salvation, now listen, if you don't have a testimony of personal salvation, you and I need to talk. Because I know just where you can find one. And I'd love to lead you to where you could find it. So you also have a story. Be transformed. We got to be different. But the only way we can do that is by the renewing of our mind. We got to think differently. We don't need to go with the flow in our culture, in our world. We've got to think according to God's way of thinking, not the way the news and the media and the TV and the people around us want to live. Let's not live to impress our social group or our neighbors or our workmates. Let's live to impress God. That's living that transformed life.
And then we can prove what the perfect, acceptable will of God is for our life. But those are some things he would tell us to do, because I know he's already told us those things. So I think it's a done deal, don't you? We know that God will speak, because he's promised to. And just in case you're just a little bit frightened, as we were talking a few minutes ago about his leading being scary, can I read you another promise? Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 and through 13. I'm sure you probably know that verse. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil." So what are you worried about? "To give you a future and a hope." That's what he has in mind for us, a future and a hope. Is it going to be perfect and easy? I doubt it. But he said he'd never leave us, didn't he? He said he'd always guide us. I don't mind walking through the bush on a dark night as long as I've got a light that's guiding me. But you know, as we walk through this dark world, we got a light that's guiding us. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. He will prompt you and guide you. He'll look after you. He'll speak to you. He'll even from behind say, "Listen, don't look to the left or the right. Just that voice is going to say, go that way." Start listening to the whisper. I did see in the Old Testament where God doesn't speak in the storms nor the earthquake, but he speaks in a still small voice. God won't shout, but he will speak. Are you listening? Are you listening? Have you heard God's voice today? If you haven't heard God's voice today, perhaps you need to, when you get home, fix your cup of tea, turn the TV off. State of the Margins next week, not now. Find some quiet time and ask God to speak to you. He just might. Next week we're going to talk, how does he speak? How does he speak? Be here next week and we'll find out. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I think this is one of the most remarkable things in the Christian life. To know and to have confidence that the God of the universe will speak to us. He will communicate with us. And I know that means an awful lot to me. Perhaps there are some here today that haven't heard your voice for a very, very long time. I know that you allow us to go through times of desert experiences that cause us to get confused. But just as Moses found out, keep listening. Because even in the most arid and difficult places, you will speak. So, Father, help us to be aware of that. You do speak to your kids. Give us the courage and the focus to listen and to respond to whatever you ask us to do. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Keep listening for His voice, and perhaps if we hear a shout in the trumpet, it's all going to be over. Or at least here. Have a good week.